We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in. Hour number two, talking a little college football here. By the way, happy NCAA 26. The football game was released today, a little EA Sports, which I know is a big deal for some people. And that's a nice little positive college football story out there. I haven't played. I know 25 was like a big deal when they released that. I know Dirt was like setting up his dynasty. I used to play that all the time. And I thought I'd play the new college football game, but I moved into video hockey. I think I play video hockey, video baseball.
Video hockey's great.
Video
it's hard
hockey,
to be.
And this is maybe controversial. I think it's the best of the sports video games.
It's the most fun, I think. Although I really did like 25. I do think.
Did you get it?
I got College Football 25 got me a system. I hadn't had a Xbox or a PlayStation for years.
What was your team? What'd you go with?
Well, you start off as like the worst possible team that you can get. No, Central wasn't on there, so save that joke on the text line. But you start off with whoever the worst team is. I had a couple. I had one with my buddies, and so we all picked an old Pac-12 school. We remade the conference, and then you had to march your way through the Pac-12, and we'd play each other. So it was a lot of fun. 26 is supposed to be even better. I am going to wait until... After I see how hard Pendleton hits me on how much money I have available to purchase that, but it will get purchased at some point.
Yeah, today was they released. I guess they're bringing back basketball too. So,
dude, that's gonna be my favorite one. I loved the old basketball game.
Yeah, I used to play all that, and I know the NCAA ones went away for a long time. I didn't play any of the NBA stuff. I haven't played Madden in a number of years. I got sucked into MLB The Show for a while. And
loves that.
And I enjoy that, but the 162 games is a lot.
Right.
Like, to get through a season, there's a lot there. But hockey's nice. Hockey's like my sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get the NHL one every like maybe 2 years. I don't buy it every year.
Yeah.
It's got a nice little 2 year window for me. And believe it or not, I think the FIFA soccer ones are kind of fun too.
Everyone loves FIFA soccer. I just like with the NHL one, like I can play as the Winterhawks. Like I can go around and I can find a team. I remember like if there was like a Winterhawk playing overseas, or I had some, we're going to call them family members, but friends of family, close kind of deal. And they were playing in like the ECHL and the AHL, so AAA and AA system of minor league hockey. And so going in, finding the teams that they played on, playing as them, I always really enjoyed that.
Well, and there's a soft spot for me because that was the last time I was good in a video game.
Was the NCAA?
The NCAA. Well, we joked, like, I was the second worst player in the two Madden games that I was in.
What Madden game are you in? Are you
0-2? The one with Michael Vick on the cover, and then the other one's like Dante Culpepper.
Oh, yeah. I might have that. So
I'm on the Vick. I know I'm on the Vick one.
You're on the Vick
and,
one.
And there's whichever one came after Vick.
That was a great Madden.
And I'm the second to the worst player. I'm like a 52, I believe.
I freaking wish, because obviously not in any video game, probably never will be, but that was always like the really cool. We had a guy, so NCAA, they had 2014. When I went to Central, my first year would have been 2016, so I played with a guy who was actually in the last 2014 video game.
Yeah,
he was one of the more, like, he was a freshman when he played on that team, so he wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And but I do remember, like, we would always go and play as Wyoming so we could play as Uso and be like, yes, this is my teammate now. And here he is with his long hair and dreads, but they say that his name is, like, Steve Madden.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking to see, I think it's Ray.
Is it the Ray Lewis one?
I think I'm on Marshall Faulk in the Vic. I know I'm in the Vic one, and I think the other one's Marshall Faulk.
Okay, because you've got Dante Culpepper in 02, you got Faulk in 03, and you have Vic in 04.
I think it's Faulk, and I think it's Michael Vick. And I'm like, I think I'm a 52 in both of them.
I do have that game. My roommate has the original Xbox, and he's got, I think he's got Faulk, I think he's got Vic. I know for sure he has Ray Lewis.
And I think on one, like, my speed's like a 20-something.
No way. Did you see that they have a punter right now?
Yeah, like a zero
toughness?
Yeah, zero toughness.
You got to go pick a fight, don't you? Like, you just have to go and sock some dude in the mouth.
If that, like, you got to be careful. Like, that golf course, bro. Like, you get a zero toughness, and players, the hilarious part is, like, players get mad at this stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When the Madden ratings come out, like, NFL players, and I'm sure now it's this way with college, like, guys get really pissy about it. And when I was at BYU, see, we didn't have names, so if you just go back to whatever that, the last NCAA football game there was, and I don't remember who's on the cover of that, you know, this was back when you couldn't use players, right? You didn't pay for them.
You use players that had already graduated. Like, the last one before this one was Denard Robinson.
Yep. So I don't remember who was on the cover of the one that I was at. But my last year at BYU, I think I was like a 91 or a 92. So if you want to know the difference between the NFL and college football, you can go from a 92 to a 52 in no time flat. It comes at you fast.
Yeah.
But now, like, in college football, like, you actually can use your name, image, and likeness. So I'm assuming that it's the same sort of thing that today, I'm guessing every college football player, because I think when you put your name into it, I think you get a couple bucks. It's like $500 and you get a copy of the game.
Yep.
I promise you, every college football player today is looking at their rating and being pissy about it. And not just the overall rating, the individual rating. Because, you know, there's some receiver somewhere that's pissed that they have him at like an 81 speed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like, are you kidding me? I'm fast. And then some old lineman is pissed because they don't have his strength where they should be. We all feel like we should be at a certain thing. And guys get very touchy about these sorts of things. And I just kind of laugh. Because it's one thing if you're good and you're mad at your rating. But if you're bad and you know you're bad, be mad at a 52.
Right.
Yeah. Like, when I saw that 52 rating, when I saw that rating, I was like, yeah, it's about right.
Yeah, I should be listed there. Now, here's the real question. Are you in the arena football game? Do you remember that?
I do remember. There was an arena game. I never played arena.
You just did the tryout?
I wanted nothing to do with that. I got flown down to Vegas. Was it the Outlaws?
Yeah, or the Arizona Rattlesnakes or whatever.
Flown down to whatever Vegas team there
Outlaws,
was,
I believe.
And they asked me if I wanted to come down, and it was a workout with me and, like, maybe, I don't know, 10 other guys.
Yeah.
And so we went down for the workout or whatever, and then they were like, okay, do you want, and they, like, went over the contract or whatever. It was like the most janky experience of all time. They picked me and one other, we stayed at Terrible's Casinos. They flew me down there. Like, mm-hmm. Southwest style. And I forget the guy's name, but he was a huge dude, giant lineman, played somewhere down south.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that picked us up, he picked us up in like a Ford Ranger. So it was a 2-seat truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and my man was like 330. So I got in the back. So I illegally rode in the back of like a Ford Ranger. And I assumed we were going to like Sam Boyd Stadium, which is where UNLV played.
Right.
And I had played there a couple times. So I'm assuming that's where we were going. And we showed up at like the Thomas and Mack Center. And I was like, oh, is this like.
So we're going to try out indoors.
We're going to try out indoors. Hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. No, there's just like a field. There's just a field. Like, and not a football field, like a field out in front of like where Thomas and Mack. And I was like, and I had my little duffel bag with me and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I was like, where do we change? And he's like, what? And I was like, is there like a locker room? Like, I just in regular clothes. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got cleats and, you know, I was like, I'm assuming I got to snap a ball. So I got a jock and I'm like, and he's like, you can change in the truck. So I laid down in the bed of the truck, and that's where I changed. Mm-hmm. And like, and so we went out and we did like, I don't know, like a half hour of drills or whatnot. And the guy was like, all right, well, here's our standard like contract or whatever. And it was like, I want to say it was like 30 grand for like the season or whatever. And I was asking him about like where you live. And I had kids. I was like,
right.
Like, it's like schools. And I was asking about like insurance. And the guy's like, what is with these questions?
Like, just play the game.
Yeah,
dude.
Just like, just sign on the dotted line. And I was like, yeah, no. I was like, it's like, so if I like blow out my knee, if I shred this thing, I'm like, do you guys pay for the surgery? Is there rehab or whatever? And he's like, good question. I was like, what do you mean?
Good? He didn't answer it.
I was like, well, good question. He's like, well, he's like, we have a, you know, you can contact this person or whatever. And he's like, would you like to sign this thing? And I was like, what? What are we doing? It was the most fly-by-night operation I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, you know what? I don't think arena football is for me. It's like, we're going to just kind of tip the cap and walk away. That was when I knew that maybe football was kind of...
Time for it to be done. Well, I just want you to know, I have actually practiced out there recently. It is no longer just a dirt field. It is turf. It's very nice.
Yep.
I would also like you to know that arena football has gotten even more janky.
Oh, yeah.
The offer...
They've shut down, like, multiple times.
Well, then they just revamped... Like, they just started up again with different things. The one that always made me laugh was, son, do you want to be a Wenatchee Wild football player?
Is that the...
Or Wenatchee Skyhawks, maybe?
Is there a team in Wenatchee?
There is a team in Wenatchee. And I went, no, sir, I don't live in Wenatchee. I could not play for you. And he goes, that's okay. Games are on Saturday. You can commute.
God bless America.
Is there per diem?
The arena. I knew some, like, my buddy Graz, Tony Graziani, he played. And, like, I think some of those quarterbacks could actually make, like, 200 grand. I think some of those guys, it was tasty for them.
Some guys made halfway decent money, I think.
Some
believe.
Of the quarterbacks and stuff made real money. Like when the linemen,
no.
Not so much.
There's a bunch of fat guys who want to get pushed around in an indoor arena. They're not going to pay the fat guys a lot of money.
Oh, like I said, I think for the year, I want to say it was like 30 grand. It was like whatever it is, 10 games or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like with like no insurance, no long-term. Never did answer my question of what happens if I shred my knee. I was like, oh, you can call this number and you talk about it. And I was like, is there like housing? Can I like bring my family? And the guy's like, again, just.
You want to stay in the Orleans?
Yeah, there was a lot of like, just shut up and come play. Like, eh, maybe not. We come back. I do want to talk about this NIL thing, at least from one collective's perspective. And if this is happening at Utah State, I wonder how much of this is trickling up to some of the bigger programs, because you are starting to hear this about the new NCAA clearinghouse when it comes to NIL deals. That when we come back here on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
So I was scrolling the old Twitter today, and I came across this thread from a guy by the name of Dalton K. Forsythe. Who is Dalton K. Forsythe? I had no idea, but it was pointed out at the top of the thread that he is in charge of the Utah State, current Mountain West, soon to be new Pac-12 member, which is still weird that Utah State is going to be part of the new Pac, but remember, that's basically every state school will be a member of the Pac-12. So, be out here on the West Coast, partners with Oregon State and Washington State. And so I do think that this matters, not just because they're going to be in a conference with a couple of the local schools, but it sounds like this is kind of happening across the landscape of college football. And I think it's something that is going to be very interesting as this plays out, because is this going to be more court cases for the NCAA? So if you don't know, house settlement that occurred with the NCAA freeing up, it was a settlement. So players are now going to retroactively go back and get paid. And then moving forward, college athletic programs can now split revenue with college athletes. In Division One, it's up to 20-something million dollars. And it can go up as the years go on, and you can spend up to that limit, or you can spend as little as you want. It's up to each individual school to decide. And you can still have NIL. You still have collectives. Difference is now in the house settlement, you can now take these collectives and you can move them in-house. You know, before, it used to be that the collective supposedly was not being allowed to be part of the school, which we know is bullcrap anyways. We know that the collectives were working hand-in-hand with the school. Now the NIL payments, though, can directly come from the school. So some of these collectives will stay independent. Others will morph with the program. And now they're saying that every deal from the name, image, and likeness has to go through basically a clearinghouse system. It has to go through a new thing called the NIL Go system. The NCAA wants to know what these name, image, and likeness deals are for. And then they will either approve or disapprove. But they all have to go through that to try to get some sort of transparency. And when this system was first announced, there was a lot of speculation that this thing is going to be an unmitigated disaster. One, what system are you going to have to be able to clear the thousands of deals that are going us across the board?
Right.
Because this isn't just football. This is football, basketball, women's basketball, track and field. Anyone getting an NIL payment has to have this submitted. You imagine the sheer amount of deals that are going to have to be dealt with in a short period of time. And then also, who gets to decide what is or isn't a legitimate deal, right? So this was an ongoing concern.
The other one that I want to point out, too, not to derail you here, is you're also trusting that the kids won't just get DM'd and accept the DM, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of college kids, in a shocking development, are stupid. And if someone just texts them and says, I'll give you $500 to take this photo with my T-shirt, they will do it.
Well, if you tell me that my fair market value is $5,000 and someone wants to give me $20,000, am I really going to be like, no, I'm not taking your $20,000?
Right.
So we're now again putting arbitrary limits on what people can make. Well, this is a thread. This is from the head of the Utah State NIL Collective. He said, we worked hard to input our NIL deals well ahead of the July 1st deadline, because that was when the July 1st was when the house settlement officially became signed, sealed, and delivered, and this new system fell into place. He said, we worked hard to meet the July 1 deadline, as did most of other schools that I've spoken with. Despite that, we've had nonstop issues. The NIL Go website was frequently down, and once deals were submitted, they often timed out every 5 days due to lack of timely review. If you put a deal into the system and 5 days went by and it wasn't dealt with, you had to go back and resubmit the deal.
Right. Like, are these companies really going to sit there and wait when they, again, is the kid going to sit there and wait?
And he said, some of our deals have timed out multiple times, not because any compliance issue, but because the system simply isn't being managed at the pace that the NIL requires. So imagine you're a kid and you get a $25,000 NIL deal. You take it to your school and you say, hey, we're going to submit this for approval. And you have to submit it 4 to 5 times and it keeps getting turned down, not because it's a legitimate deal, because we can't get to it in time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that deal becomes null and void. You technically can't get the payment, or you're worried about if you do get that money, you spend it, are you going to have to repay it if they deem that that deal non-compliant? Now we're hearing from peers across the country that nearly 100% of collective-backed NIL deals are being denied, regardless of size or structure. Why? The College Sports Commission has taken the position that collectives cannot serve valid business purpose, a standard that was never communicated before it was implemented. In a July 10th memo, NIL Go finally confirmed what many feared, and this is from the NIL Go, the new clearinghouse system. An entity with a business purpose of providing payments or benefits to a student athlete or institutions rather than providing goods or services to the general public for profit does not satisfy the valid business purposes requirement of Rule 22.13. They are basically telling you that if a deal comes from a collective, it will be turned down. He goes on to detail an NIL deal, and we won't go into all the details because it's multiple pages, but he put forth a great example. It's like 6 pages long. And it says it's a real example of a deal that was submitted, and they redacted the player's name.
Trying to
throw a kid under the bus. But the total compensation was only $2,300. $2,300. Hmm. And it said it included social media posts, appearances, brand promotion, real deliverables, clearly documented. So again, the whole purpose of NIL supposedly is a company is paying you for your name, image, and likeness. $2,300 required you to post about it, required you to make appearances, required you to promote a brand. For $2,300, the athlete had responsibilities, compensation matched the work. It wasn't anything like, hey, you make three appearances and we give you $500,000. $2,300, you care to guess what the NCAA Go website said?
Well, they turned it down because it's all social media stuff. And that, but
shot it down.
But that's the other thing, though. Like, who are the people that are in charge of like running this? Because a lot of the NIL deals that these kids are going to make are through the social media. Like, I always think of like Livy Dunn or the Cavender twins.
Yep. Fair market value?
Well, and all of their stuff that they did was based off social media followers. Now, they might have been overpaid. Right. If you have a younger, marketing person or person who has experience in social media, there's more money getting doled out on posts and TikTok videos and X posts on Twitter. Like there is a market that is opening that people don't understand the true value of if they are of a certain age, because that market just opened within the last 4 or 5 years.
It's insanity that the NCAA thinks that they can determine what someone's fair market value is. Again, I ask, what was Caitlin Clark's fair market value? What was Cooper Flagg's fair market value? What is Juju Watkins' fair market? Livy Dunn at LSU, Marcus Mariota when he was at Oregon, what is his fair market value?
How do you
determine
this?
This is $2,300 and is being turned down. And he also brings up a point here, the Utah State Collective president, which, by the way, you should pay attention to this, Oregon State and Washington State. He's pointing out to the smaller schools that can't share the revenue the way the big boys. Remember.
Yep.
You can now share over $20 million with your student athletes, right? If you're one of the schools like Utah State, like Oregon State, like Washington State that may not be able to spend the full $20 million, right? Maybe you can only share a quarter of that, a half of that. Let's say you can spend $11 million to share. You're already at a disadvantage, right? Because your payouts to your student athletes are less. And now you're basically telling them that any collective that you gather to try to close that gap. Imagine if you're Oregon State and the Beaver Dam Collective gets together and they raise a bunch of money and they're like, hey, we're going to try to close that gap to make sure our student athletes are getting paid. Now the NCAA is saying, no, that comes from a collective. Therefore, we're going to deny every one of your claims, even if it's something as paltry as $2,300. I mean, this is insane. Oh, and by the way, that's even if you can get us to even rule on your deal that you put into the clearinghouse portal. Because it sure sounds like, in this case, Utah State had to do this multiple times, and they just let it sit and die on the vine. And meanwhile, if I'm a booster and I'm waiting to give a kid money, how many times does that deal get turned down before I just give him the cash under the table?
Agreed.
And then what do we do? We're right back in the same situation we were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, when we were just paying athletes under the table. It's just, this is ridiculous. And by the way, unless it is collectively bargained, to where you set limits on what you can pay athletes, this is the definition of antitrust. Mm-hmm. You as an industry cannot cap what people can earn without there being a union, without it being collectively bargained. This is insane to me that the NCAA just got done getting their asses handed to them in court for like 5 straight years. And now after all of that, we're still at the point where they're like, Now, we're still going to say how much you can make, and we're going to be the ones to determine how much your name, image is worth.
Right.
And even if it's for a legitimate purpose, we still aren't going to do it because it's coming from a collective and we don't like collectives. It needs to come from in-house.
Well,
it's just the NCAA's head is so far up their ass. It's stunning to me. And I know that no one wants to see this become professional football. No one wants to see contracts. No one wants to see it collectively bargained. I just don't see how in any shape or form this isn't the way this is headed. Because if you think players are going to sit here and if a player was making $1 million from NIL, do you really think he's going to allow and just sit there on his hands and be like, well, I guess I'm only worth 10 grand now because that's what you say I'm worth. You're only right. worth what someone's willing to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's this new NIL Go clearinghouse system. And then apparently you're worth nothing if it comes from a collective. This is just, and meanwhile, at Big 12 Media Days, you have Mike Gundy saying, we need a union, right? The players need a union. This needs to be collectively bargained. Deion Sanders came out and said, again, at Media Day, we need to have a salary cap, plain mm-hmm. and simple. I would like to point out that Texas Tech, their NIL payments for this year, for all of their sports, $55 million. They spent $55 million on this for all mm-hmm. their sports across and NIL deals for 1 year.
Well, they have a billionaire, don't they?
Yeah, they got a billionaire.
They got a billionaire.
But now, again, you're going to go back and tell that guy that was going to spend $55 million, you're going to tell him, nope, none of those deals are legit. Right. And it sounds like most coaches do support. It used to be like the big sacrilegious thing to say. They said almost every Big 12 coach from Kyle Whittingham to Mike Gundy, Deion Sanders are all like, no, the only way we move forward with this is mm-hmm. with a collectively bargained thing. So this is going to me going to be the story of the year. Because as this goes on, remember last year we had a UNLV quarterback quit middle of the season.
Saluka.
Yeah, due to NIL payments.
He was promised like $1 million and he got like $60K.
Yeah. We've seen players from Florida and Miami basically threaten a mutiny over this.
Jalen Rashada left Florida because they weren't going to pay up on what they promised.
So what's going to happen the first time that a big name player who was sitting on a multi-million dollar deal gets told 2 weeks before the season that deal is null and void and you don't get that money or you have to give that money back? Good luck with that. I mean, I'm hoping that this doesn't derail college football season and become the main kind of topic of discussion. But so far, it's been the main topic of discussion at Media Days. And you're now getting coaches and these collective leaders that are coming out and giving you a glimpse at what this system is like. I just don't see how this doesn't crash and burn in a really, really bad way for the NCAA. Or you just get ready for more lawsuits. Because the NCAA has done so well in court over the last couple of years. I'm sure that this is going to go really, really well for them when they go to court and say, yeah, he's not an employee, and we don't really have any authority to cap what he makes, but we would like to cap what he makes. Because someone might have an issue with that. Somewhere Jeffy Kessler and every other lawyer is just licking his chops, waiting for someone to tell a million-dollar athlete that he's now worth $10,000. We come back in the news. Here, though, is Will with SportsCenter. He said, how many McDonald's bags full of cash are being handed out in the SEC right now? A lot.
They ever get stopped?
Well, and that's what I laugh at. Like, why do we want to go back to the days where we have to lie about kids getting paid? I thought we were past all that. I think hadn't we come to the point where it was like, all right, dude, we get it. You're making a $1 billion industry here. You're going to get paid. And now we're trying to revert back to putting the genie back in the bottle where we're like, yeah, we'll give you some money, but we're not going to give you all the money. And we're going to determine how much you get paid. It's just silly to me because there's no way that this is going to stop collectives or schools from putting cash in a kid's hand. If you want a five-star left tackle, you're going to find a way to get the five-star left tackle.
Exactly.
It's just the SEC has been doing this forever. I mean, this goes back to old SMU stuff. So do we want to live in a world where we have to pretend that it's not going on and look the other way? Meanwhile, the kid shows up in a Lamborghini and Eric Dickerson is showing up in his Corvette and all these sorts of things. Or do we want to just get to the point where we're like, hey, you know, this is what it is. Some schools have more than others, and at least it's somewhat above board and we can be honest about why a kid is going to a place. I just don't understand why we're trying to go backwards and shove this thing, I don't know, back in the time machine. Makes no sense to me. But I digress. It is July 10th in the year of our Lord 2025, and that means it is time for In the News. I'm your Noted News contributor, sitting in for your Noted News man. Happy 50th birthday, Ezra, down in San Diego. Maybe catching a Padres-Phillies game. We'll be back on Monday. It is Chronic Disease Day, so celebrate chronic disease, which is lots of fun. Or raise awareness for chronic disease. Might be a little better.
I prefer the album more than the disease, but...
The album?
Yeah, the Chronic album, Dr. Dre.
Well, that's not chronic disease.
Well, I know. I'm saying I prefer the album more so than I would prefer the disease.
It was a great album. It came out when I was like...
There's a second one, too.
Oh, yeah, the Chronic 2. The Chronic came out when I was like in like the 8th or 9th grade. And let me tell you, it was a big damn deal. In Vancouver, Washington, a lot of white suburban kids. Overnight, gangster rappers.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I was in high school when that movie came out, Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
It was a big deal in Vancouver, Washington. A lot of gangster rappers that came
back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was also a lot of... So Ice Cube started as a rapper? I didn't know that.
That is kind of weird. Well, like, Snoop Dogg at one point was on trial for murder, and I believe he was a Crip. Like, he was a known, like, gangbanger.
Yeah,
he was
a Crip.
And he was, like, he was a pimp. Like, he did, like, a stable of whores. And now he's like America's like dad. Everyone loves Snoop Dogg. Like, Snoop Dogg. It is when Ice Cube, like Ice Cube was the scariest member of NWA.
See, and the part that's...
the angry mug. Now he's doing like Daddy's Home 2 and whatever.
Well, and he shouldn't have been the scariest person on NWA because it should have been Eazy-E. But he's the smallest one.
Yeah, Eazy-E had he had some soul glow and he was like 4'11".
No, but Eazy-E was the one who, like, Ice Cube wrote about Eazy-E. Eazy-E's the one who did all the stuff. Ice Cube didn't do any of it. He just saw it and looks mean.
Yeah, he had the mean face.
He looks angry.
It's also National Pina Colada Day, which are delightful.
Yeah.
Maybe not the manliest drink in the world, but come on, a pina colada on a beach somewhere? Now, if you're ordering a pina colada at a dive bar, get out of here.
See.
Don't order a blended drink. You can't go to the Slammer and order a pina colada, but on a beach somewhere, a pina colada, delightful.
See, not a pina colada guy, because that's got pineapple, right?
Yeah.
Anti-pineapple, but I'll go with, if I'm going to go girly drink, it's like a daiquiri or a margarita.
You get a lava flow.
What's a lava flow?
It's a pina colada, but it's got the red, is it the grenadine that's mixed in there?
Oh, instead of, but because I don't want the pineapple. I'm away from the pineapple. Anti-pineapple.
It's more coconut than pineapple.
See, I like
you
coconut.
You tried the pina colada?
See, but the minute that I hear pina in it and I know there's pineapple, anti.
Interesting.
Anti. Not a pineapple guy. Got into a fight about it the other day.
Over pineapple?
Well, like an argument. It was verbal. Oh. It was not physical.
Like, has anybody ever come to blows over pineapple?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
I guess pineapple on a pizza can be pretty polarizing.
That might end a friendship.
Yeah, I never understood the real anger. Like ketchup on a hot dog, pineapple on a pizza. Like, really?
I just don't eat it.
Yeah, I've never understood the anger. If you meet that guy that you go to get like an Italian beef sandwich and they're like, no, it has to be done this way. You're like, well, I don't like it that way.
I'll just
have it this way. And they're like, no, there's only one way. I know a guy like that. And you're like, dude, if you don't like pineapple, don't eat pineapple. But if I love pineapple, I find pineapple and pepperoni, the little sweet and savory.
Yeah.
That's a delightful pizza.
Well, it's good for you.
But I would never push my pineapple agenda on someone else, so it's the half and half.
Ooh,
but the anti-pineapple or the anti-ketchup or the anti-mayo guy, he gets very pissy when you put that on whatever.
Now, you're older, therefore wiser, and so I will bring this to you. I went to a party where pizza was involved.
Sure.
Three pizzas bought. Two out of the three had some version of pineapple on the pizza.
That's Bush.
See,
that's a Bush League party move.
I agree. You get one of you can do your pineapple and Canadian bacon, and then you do the combo, and then you do like a cheese or a pepperoni.
You know that if you're at a party and you're doing a three pizza,
it's
about serving the greater good.
Agreed.
It's serving the greater good. And so you got to have one that's probably just standard pepperoni because it's just solid.
Yep. Or cheese.
A cheese is safe because then maybe you're going to get some of the vegetarian types. So a nice like a three cheese or maybe a margarita pizza is nice on that.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go off the reservation on one and you want to get a pepperoni and pineapple or a Canadian bacon,
right.
An all meat or something, that's fine. Like the combo pizza with all the veggies. again, it's for a specific type, but that's always the one that gets left over. You really shouldn't do a weird pizza unless you've got, like, if you're getting like 4 to 5 pizzas, have a toss away.
Agreed.
Right? You can have one, but or if have you're your doing favorite. 3 to 4 pizzas, you got to keep it. You got to keep it in a narrow hallway. Again, it's serving the greater good. I can't abide. If you're doing 3 pizzas and 2 of them have pineapple, which may be the most controversial topping,
mm-hmm.
it's like anchovies and pepperoni. They're very controversial. You can't do that.
Yeah, we're in lockstep on this one, and I was chastised for me chastising others.
Yeah, you can't. That's it's Bush. Who's ever doing that? Just know that your party and your spread, it's a Bush League spread.
No, they made up for it. They got me gelato. And so we cooled down with the gelato.
Well, that's the same thing with gelato. Like, if you're getting gelato for everyone, you can't get some weird, wonky gelato flavor.
Right.
You know, again, when it's for the masses, mm-hmm. it's got to be, again, you're trying to wrap your arms around it. That's what a party's about. You don't bring Malort as the only liquor at your party. No, you can't go all weirdly specific.
It's a shotgun spray.
Yeah,
you can't be tight aim.
Yeah, it's hot. It's gonna be hot. We're in the high 70s, low 80s today. Great weekend ahead, but next week, look out. Triple digits next week. I'm saying Tuesday, ooh, Wednesday, hottest days of the year. So get ready for an annoying amount of news coverage about what to do when it's hot.
We got a company email about what to do when it's hot.
We have to do a training program.
We do?
Yeah.
I didn't read that.
We have required training about heat-related illness, even though we work in an air-conditioned building and an air-conditioned
studio. I should go back and read that email. I just saw it's going to be hot, and I did not read it.
Triple digits. So just be prepared. Next week, the news coverage, I'm guessing 75% of the news stories over the next week are going to be about the potential for triple digits here in the Rose City. We come back, we've got manhunt news, we've got sentencing news, and God, maybe we should have joined up and bought a building, because apparently in downtown Portland, buildings are going for pennies on the dollar. And the news rolls on when we come back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome in. We're smack dab in the middle of In the News, careening towards what was the hot 5 at 5, and now it's just 5 o'clock. Will, do you want to buy a skyscraper?
Yes.
You know, the U.S. Bank Corp Tower, a.k.a. the Big Pink, right over there, it's in the shadow of the Keep Portland Weird building there. It was bought by the Swickard Auto Group. Jeff Swickard is the guy. And they own dealerships across the entire country. Huge, huge deal. And they pay cash, which is kind of tasty. And they bought the U.S. Bank Corp building for $45 million, which... That's the largest building, by the way, in Portland. And I was like, oh, man, $45
million? That's
I was like, that kind of seems like a steal of a deal. So I had to look this up. The last time that building, the Big Pink, sold in 2015, would you care to guess what it sold for in 2015?
2015, I'm going to say it sold for $20
million. $372 million.
Excuse me? Like 8 people get found dead in there or something? What's happening?
I always thought like downtown Portland's coming back. You know, I spent a lot of time down there, and bars are popping, and you're seeing more restaurants pop up, and I feel like we got some positive momentum. We're working towards the homeless thing. I feel like downtown's moving in the right direction. And then I see that our largest building 10 years ago sold for $372 million, and my man Jeff just bought it for $45 million. Pennies on the dollar.
Seems like a steal. Like, could they not find anyone on Redfin?
Now, he did say, the Swickard guy did say that they are going to spend a lot of money renovating it. Maybe it had fallen into like massive disrepair. He said they're going to spend a lot of money renovating it and to try to attract more businesses, more offices to get there. and which is you know, a good thing. I'm just blown away that $45 million for the largest building in Portland. I understand that you probably have spent a lot of money on the upkeep, and maybe that's a risky investment. I mean, you look at, like, the Ritz is getting ready to get foreclosed upon, but I just got to think, 10 years ago, something that was $375 and now you got it for $45, I would think that is the steal of a lifetime there. And he says the investment is more about just real estate. It's about reaffirming our belief in Portland and what can they become again. Through our business and personal giving, we have tried to focus on things that matter. From animal rescue, community nonprofits, to creating opportunities for people to grow and succeed, the same spirit will guide our work towards the big pink. So, Keith Wilson, he issued a statement. That's our fearless mayor. He said the sale of the U.S. Bank Corp Tower to Jeff Swickard and the plans he has for it is exactly the kind of commitment and optimism that Portland needs. The city is ready to work alongside Jeff to support tenants, boost confidence, and ensure that downtown remains a great place to live, work, and build. So it's nice. I think anytime you see someone making an investment in downtown Portland, I'm all about it. I believe in the city. Agreed. I think it's an amazing city. It's an amazing place to live. It's an amazing place to work. And fingers crossed that this is a guy that got it a sweetheart of a deal, mm-hmm. planned to put a bunch of money into it, and maybe this is a big bounce back. Anyone that's willing to come in and invest in the city, and I love that the mayor is behind it, and hopefully he can clear some of that red tape crap mm-hmm. and he can actually make this a place where people want to start businesses, people want to move their businesses here, and people want to start moving back into the city.
Agreed. I don't always get the bad rap that Portland gets. I understand that there are certain issues at points, but I think if you go to any major city in the U.S. and some minor cities, you're going to find a lot of those same issues. So whatever helps bring more businesses and more money into the area, I'd love that. Just, although, housing prices, if those could go down.
Just crazy, though. $45 million for a building that sold for $375. Former Blazer great. Former Blazer player, Ben McLemore, who was convicted of rape. 8.5 years in prison. His sentencing came down today. So he is going away for a significant period of time. Mm. So that's just kind of one of those bad stories. But, hey, justice was served. And for the victim of it, kudos to her for having the guts to come forward. And she got her justice. Also in Manhunt news, Travis Decker, who's the guy that killed his kids and has disappeared running around the woods, we reported this earlier this week. Remember, they supposedly spotted him out in the Idaho forest. They found a guy with gauge earrings, and they said that this was, you know, maybe a nice clue. Well, it turns out they found the guy that was out there in the woods camping that matched the description. It's not him.
Dang.
So the search for Travis Decker continues. So they found the hiker that matched the description. They said the hiker was very cooperative. Can you imagine how scary that is, though? You're out hiking around, and next thing you know, I'm guessing that the cops roll up with several guns drawn and are like, hey, let's talk to you for a second. But nope, checked him out. Turns out it wasn't him. And so now we're back to having no idea where Travis Decker is, whether he's somewhere in Idaho, whether somewhere in Washington. We don't know, but the killer remains on the loose. And again, if you do see him, contact police. Do not try to apprehend him on your own or approach him. He is extremely armed and dangerous. And if you are a hiker out there and you match his description, maybe just carry a sign over here that says not him. Travis Decker. Like, put maybe put your ID around your neck. That way you can just kind of flash it to people. Like, not him. Not him.
Did you ever have the cops do that to you? Where you matched a description and they come up on you? It's not fun.
I've had it twice. Once I was breaking into my own home and I got a gun pulled on me. In high school I was breaking into my own house.
Yep.
And the neighbors called the coppers on it, and the cops showed up, and that was like one of those ah. And in Seattle I had the case of missing identity or the mistaken identity. Yeah, it's not a good feeling.
Nope. They in Ellensburg, I matched a description, and it's fair. It was 10 o'clock at night, and I was walking with a hood on. Yeah. I understand. But when the second cop car zips past you and the third one is trailing right behind you, it's a bit unnerving.
And then you start scrolling through your head. I don't know about you, but, like, what did I do? Like, when the...
Right.
Yeah, you're like, ah. And then you're like, what did I do? Is there anything that I've done that you're like, how did I get caught? Was that like, yeah, it's like...
I'm pretty sure I paid for that. Like, I didn't steal anything. I'm an upstanding citizen, probably.
There's some camper bro right now in the Idaho forest that probably needs a clean pair of shorts. Because I'm guessing they don't casually walk up to that guy and like, excuse me, sir, can we have a moment? I think it's more along the lines of you're going in guns drawn.
There was like, even with me, there was a lot of like hands on hips, and there was like, sir, how about you just stop there and turn around slowly?
Yeah, this dude's like a trained killer and is a known killer. I'm guessing that's kind of a bit of a harrowing thing if you're a cop and you're approaching him in the woods. Yeah, I'm guessing that those are tense moments, but wasn't him, so still on the loose out there. All right, we come back, headlines when primetime rolls on. 10-8 to the Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.